Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to start the show. This is Shay Elliott.
As Angela's eating.
She just this is you.
I'm like, my mom loves swallow food.
This is the last episode of the season. I have a little bowl of popcorn. I've got a glass of wine. I ate my cheese sticks already.
I have these. Okay, so I went to see my grandma in Holland, Michigan, for the weekend. And so I have to go all the way down through Milwaukee, through Chicago, back up into Michigan. And so I always stop at Trader Joe's, and they have these olive and herbs mixed nuts.
Okay.
These are my spirit animal snack. Because they're like pulverized like herbs de Provence on the nuts, and then they're dehydrated Kalamata olives in there.
Like a better raisin.
Oh my gosh, they're so good. They're gone. I should have bought 5 bags of them.
Oh man.
So that's what I was stuffing my face with right when we flipped. Go.
Okay. Well, welcome everyone to Homemaker Chic, season 26, episode 10. So this will be our final episode before we take just a few weeks off for Christmas. And we thought it would be fun to sort of end the season with some of these comments that have been coming in. We've just been having so much fun this season.
This was a good one. I liked it.
It felt very us.
Yes. Yes, it did.
Can I be honest?
Sure.
I'm a little tired of pretending like I know anything. I am continually humbled in life, just continually humbled about things you don't know that maybe you feel like you should, or you think I'm going to reach a certain age and then I'll have it figured out, or then I'll understand this better. We sat down with our financial advisor a few weeks ago and I just said, Justin, give it to me again. We set all this up 15 years ago, but can you just tell me again, what do we have?
It's like Steven on Diary of a CEO. He goes, could you explain that to me like I'm a 5-year-old?
Yes.
Sometimes he'll take the most basic word, and I know sometimes he's doing it for him and sometimes he's doing it for an audience when he's like, what does existential mean?
Yes, could you please, exactly. Could you please help me understand what we're talking about? Mm-hmm. I just told Stu, sometimes I feel like I need to look over my shoulders. I'm like, Mom, Dad, can someone make this decision for me? I don't know.
I don't want to talk about decisions.
Okay. All right.
Keep it away from that.
Point is, we're here with you not because we know how to be perfect homemakers, but because we're in the struggle alongside you. You know, we say that all the time. We've been saying that for the last 5, almost 6 years of this podcast. But it still remains true. Even now, with 6 more years experience, there's a lot of things we know how to do, don't we? A lot of things that we've just sort of mastered because you got to when you do them every day.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that life has for you that's always new. Every season, something new.
It is, you know, but that is one of the main beauties of homemaking, though, is that you've never arrived. You get to be so many different people. You get to put your hand to so many different tasks, like the who's got the quote? Who's that? Like Chesterton? Isn't there some quote
Chesterton?
About, homemaker being able to do so many things and not have to be a professional at them.
Yeah,
I mean, it really is a gift.
I was actually thinking the other day. So I did this YouTube video I can't, we're going to air this on Friday. So today. So there's a new YouTube video today. Okay. And it was talking about how when you get overwhelmed or when things come at you too fast or you've got a really mm-hmm. full day, that's not the time you go into the kitchen to experiment. That's when you go into the kitchen and you just Old Faithful, right? Like we're making grilled cheese and tomato soup or mm-hmm. we're just roasting a chicken or whatever your Old Faithful things are. But there are things that you've done so many times that you don't have to think about them. I'm not measuring salt when I roast a chicken. I know just in my muscles how heavy the salt should feel in my fingertips. And I actually had the thought as I was cooking through all this food, I was thinking, man, I feel like I'm just getting the hang of this. And then they're going to leave me and I'm going to have to figure out how to cook for two. You know, my mom was saying the muscle memory doesn't die. She's like, it's just your dad and I cooking. She's like, I make soup for 17 people. Like, I cannot mm-hmm. make soup for two. And so they end up with just freezers full.
Even with Aiden gone, you know, because he ate like man. So I still make too much food. Mm-hmm. I can't make oatmeal to save my life. Yeah. There's just, obviously you can turn the leftovers into an oatmeal bake, whatever. I feel so wasteful all the time mm-hmm. with pasta and oatmeal. Like, calm down.
Yeah. But then I'm like on day three of the oatmeal bake. I'm like, now let's turn this oatmeal bake. We'll add apples and turn it into another oatmeal bake.
Let's pulverize it and turn it into a snack bar.
Kids are like, I see what you're doing here.
I know. The kids will be like, did this sit out all night? Are you making oatmeal bake with the oatmeal that sat out all day yesterday?
Yes.
No,
yes.
Not me.
Exactly. I have been having let's go back. Why not?
Okay.
Remember when we used to do cash envelopes like Dave Ramsey style?
Yes. I can see mine in the drawer in my head. Like I have a visual. It's very clear.
I had a little kind of accordion thing that came with me everywhere in my purse. Mm,
like a coupon, and old lady coupon.
It was like an old lady coupon thing and it had all my cash in it. I used to get this kind of lovely sensation, like a high when mm-hmm. let's say I didn't use $30 of the grocery budget. Mm-hmm. And then I could take it, that $30 that was left over at the end of the month, and I could put it somewhere else. Like
in the perfume budget.
In the perfume budget. Exactly. Yeah. Or the date budget or whatever.
Right, right.
Well, just as a personal challenge to myself, not for any particular reason, I've just decided I am not going to spend money on eating out. I'm not going to spend it. I enjoy very much going out to eat when the food is good and when the service is good. When it's not, I become very angry.
Oh, man.
Because I know what I can do.
At home.
At home.
So wait, for the month?
I don't
know. For the
year?
For the...
Okay. We had originally just said November. Like, we need to just maybe break some habits here. And they weren't bad, but it's like when you have six people and you eat out anywhere, especially in Washington, like, it's just insanely expensive. My friend Amber went to Disneyland. They have seven. So how many do they have in their family? Seven. Plus
did you just say six, seven, Shay?
I did. Say seven. It was $160 for ice cream at Disneyland, is my point.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, it doesn't matter what the cost is when there's mm-hmm. a lot of people involved. So we had originally just set out to be like, you know what? Sometimes after piano, for example, if I didn't think ahead to lunch, we would stop and get little deli sandwiches on the way home. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. These kinds of things. And those really added up at the end of the month. And so we just thought, break habits, okay? And I had just sort of creative liberty, like whatever I need to get from the grocery store, I can get. So blah, 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 blah. You guys, I haven't stopped yet. Here it is, December 19th when this comes mm-hmm. out. I haven't stopped yet because I've been getting that same sensation. Like every meal I make, I'm like, you did it. You did it again, girl. And what I've realized is sometimes, this sounds so stupid, but like a scrambled egg and toast dinner, that's still dinner.
Mm. My mom called them breakfast dinners. Like my grandma used to do them all the time on the farm. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Or you know, popcorn and cheese sticks and pickles. That's
so
okay
funny
dinner.
When you say
I'm not
that.
Saying it oh every gosh. Night. I'm saying it's like last night I made a chickpea and Swiss chard soup. I love this soup. And like two of my kids love this soup. The other ones don't love it. And I just said, you guys, it's okay if you don't love it. You're going to eat some of it because this is what's for dinner. But even in that, I just had this like overwhelming sense of, you know, this was a couple of cups of dried beans and some leftover greens from the garden and a clove or two of garlic and an onion. And like it just, the sensation was so palpable. Like the achievement was so palpable. I just thought this is kind of what the homemaker is like thirsting for, whatever her version of that is. Do you get that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
What makes you have that? Do you get it? Have you gotten it recently?
Leftovers make me get that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
My family is, they're a bunch of princesses. They're like leftovers. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, people do this. This is actually done. And it's not me being a slacker. It's us finishing the food. How much are people eating out? I feel like we're probably not.
I asked my cooking
not,
community this. I asked.
I don't think we're really average because it's so expensive. And I only want to go or get it if it's really good. Like every once in a while, I'll say, fine, just get like pub food. And I'm in Wisconsin, granted. So that's everywhere. That's kind of the general landscape.
Our cooking community looked this up. Because we were also asking the same question. The average is $700 a month.
Oh, I'm nowhere near that. I mean, that would be like a fantasy. That would be, my gosh.
I feel like... Well, what's wild about that is that's probably four meals out for us.
Yeah, probably.
With mediocre food.
If we do a pub food run, usually there's a kid or two, you know, one's ice skating and one's not here, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a minimum 100 for if everyone just wants like a burger, you know.
Right.
I mean, that's terrible food too.
Yeah.
It's not a good experience.
Right.
And then if we go out to like my favorite restaurant as a family, which we never do, maybe once or twice a year, it's 280 to 300. So we just don't do it.
Right. Yeah. So when you take that and you say, okay, let's say your eating out budget is whatever. Let's say it's 400. And then you think, okay, if I get to go to the grocery store and buy fun food, $200
extra. Do you know how much burrata I can buy for $400?
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm still saving $200.
Smoked salmon, burrata, all the things where you're like, should I get it? Shouldn't I?
I don't really need it, but I kind of want it.
I bought, there's a grocery store that's really, really affordable in Green Bay, and I went, that's where I go, and I finally remembered to buy burrata there. So you should have seen me. I was like, just grabbing it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, right? I get home, and these aren't, not to say that they're going to be bad because I like truffle, but it's not what I wanted. I got burrata with truffle.
Fake truffle. I don't like fake truffle.
Dang it.
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to be fake?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
The essence of truffle.
The whisper of truffle.
I mean, listen.
Oh, don't tell me that. That makes
really
it even worse.
I'm really sorry to say this. And this is going to sound so posh and removed and stupid.
Okay.
But one of the things that we do on K-Vita is we literally go and dig the truffles out of the ground, and then you go to the restaurant and they shave the truffle that you just dug out of the ground over top of your pasta. And we had a bunch of guests this last time that were like, truffle's not for me. And I just said, I accept your answer. However,
but I insist you try it.
I would like you to just try it. And if not, I had the chef have something else ready. But I said, I would like you to try it because what people think that truffle tastes like is when they get truffle fries at a pub. And that is not even remotely close to what real truffle tastes like. Real truffle is so gentle. It smells like it's going to punch you in the face. It doesn't. It's so subtle and beautiful. And that when you get like a truffle oil, to me, it tastes like a rancid fake truffle most of the time. I'm sure there's really good versions out there. But
that's sort of like when you go to the gas station and you need to get like protein. And it says smoked cheese. And you're like, is it? Or has it just been fumigated?
I don't think they meant it. Yeah, it's like a fake smoke smell. There's like a very big difference between that.
I hate that. But now you have me really curious. I want to know what's going on in my burrata because...
Well, you should try it. It might be good. Let's see. I had a truffle paste one time that I got at a kind of a posh little grocery store, and that was good. Like you could put it in a risotto or something. But there are certain things I just, I'm posh about. I'm like, nope, sorry. You don't get to hang here, you fake truffle. Get out of here. We have a bunch of your comments to share with you today. We thought that would be fun. I loved actually this. And again, I swear, I didn't, there weren't like mean ones to sort out. And I just want to say thank you for that. You've kept, if you felt them, you kept them to yourself. And so this was really fun because it feels like you're joining in the conversation with us, which I really enjoy. And then you get to pop on here and listen to them. So that's fun. So before we pop into that, actually, I'm going to start with this comment. Okay. This is from Ronnie Murphy and she, right? Ronnie, she,
sure.
Ronnie, he, I'm assuming sure. she, it could be both.
Okay.
She says, yes, I was yelling Alan Rickman.
I'm sure everyone was, because every time we go to talk about that dude, I can't remember his name.
And I love Alan Rickman.
I know.
He was, rest his soul, so great. Ronnie also says, a testimonial about Branch Basics. I love it. It's easy. It works. It made my cream-colored floor tiles and nasty grout look brand new. Also, when I was spraying the island and my toddler's head popped up from behind it and he said, Mommy sprayed me, which I didn't have to worry. And I love this, Ronnie. So let's say thank you to Branch Basics for being a sponsor of Homemaker Chic Podcast, because what Ronnie is saying is... actually true. I thought you would like that segue.
The pro podcaster.
Thank you.
Golly.
Thank you. We'll say some things about pro podcasting a little bit later, but you can shop Branch Basics 15% off using the code HOMEMAKERCHIC, all one word. We recommend that you get started with the new Ultimate Starter Kit because it gives you all the different bottles that you're going to mix your concentrate into so that you can have one for your windows, your bathroom, an all-purpose one. You're also going to have the cleaner concentrate, which is what you dilute down into all these bottles, and the little Oxy Boost powder. So, Ronnie, I don't know if this is what you used, but this is what I use to clean, like when I'm going to scrub out my kitchen sink or scrub out my tile and my grout. I spray it with the all-purpose cleaner. I sprinkle the Oxy Boost powder over it. Gives it a little grit. I scrub it, I let it sit, I wash it away. It's not toxic and so incredibly effective. So branchbasics.com, Homemaker Chic, all one word for 15% off. And I didn't even make that comment up. That was a real and true comment.
And that's great? Really great, Shay.
I love that. Thank you, Angela.
I would like to say thank you to Toops & Co. So we're going into the holidays and I know you want to be sparkly and fabulous and you want your skin to look good and the furnace is on and it's getting dried out. So we want to talk about luxurious natural skincare. And when we do that, we're going to point you in the direction of Toops & Co. You can visit them at toopsandco.com. And when you check out, we want you to use the code HMC10 for 10% off. They use real ingredients like cold pressed olive oil and organic grass fed tallow.
Can I interrupt
you? So this is...
Do you know that they have a new vitamin C serum too?
No,
I knew you would like that.
I love a vitamin C serum, Shay. Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm telling you right now.
I did not know
that. I'm bringing
you
good news today, Angela.
Oh, okay. So get the vitamin C serum because your skin, that's so great. Oh my gosh, I didn't know that. This is the season to slather yourself in organic grass-fed tallow. I like the frankincense one.
Vitamin C.
Are formulated, huh?
Vitamin C.
Yeah, these are formulated with real ingredients without any synthetic chemicals, gross fillers, preservatives, artificial colors, artificial fragrances. And if you're looking for some stocking stuffers for your preteen, which this is what I do, the lip glosses, the deodorants, the dry shampoo. That's the way to go. So visit toopsandco.com and use our code for 10% off. It lets them know that you're listening to the show and you love the show. And that is HMC10 for 10% off.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next right. comment, please, m'lady.
Well, Wendover says, and I got some personal text messages on this too. So a few weeks ago, we talked about Christmas movies, and I was giving my very strong opinions, and I had one that was rather nostalgic, and that was Disney's, Walt Disney's Small One. And Wendover says, I sob through Small One every year. It's so good. And I got a few text messages about clink, 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 get the money to the bank. Like, other people knew all the little songs. And so that made me so happy that I am not the only one that just loves this sweet little cartoon about the donkey that carried Mary. It's so sweet. Google it. I think it's on YouTube. It's called Small One.
Okay. I'm going to write that down because I do want to watch it.
It's so precious.
We've been trying to like get through all the Christmas movies. We've been trying to, I think we talked about this. I've been trying to add a few new ones to our repertoire. But we're like really mean about it. And we're like, get out of here, you stupid movie. You don't get to come in. But I did watch one that I really enjoyed. And I don't know if you've seen it. It's called Klaus. C-L-A-U-S. And it's about a mailman who gets sent up to Schmierensburg.
Okay.
And he has to meet a quota in order to be able to come back to his posh life. He has to like mail 6,000 letters. Anyway, it's the story of how Santa Claus got started.
Okay.
The animation it reminded me a little bit of Emperor's New Groove. It felt very nostalgic. The story was very lovely and sweet. And, you know, every story like has to 90s have a story arc, but it wasn't like
whatever animation. Pixar animation.
I really liked it. I really liked it.
Klaus.
Mm-hmm. C-L-A-U-S. Anyway, in case anyone needs another one, I thought it was very sweet. Okay. Here's one from Dana. And I like this one. Okay. Here she goes. Regarding the refreshment you feel after getting outside, even in the winter, I just listened to the 1,000 Hours Outside podcast, number 644, with Dr. Mark Berman. And he said that a study was done where subjects were instructed to do a very mentally draining task and then set outside for a walk. The time in nature was shown to refresh the subject's attention, etc. There was no difference whether it was good weather or bad, summer or winter. The benefits were the same. I love this, Dana, because I had just a doozy of a day inside the other day, and I thought, you need to go take a lap. You need to go take set a timer on your phone. I still had a bunch of stuff to do. Set a timer on your phone for 15 minutes. Go stare at some frozen apples on the tree. I don't care. Go do anything. Just go be outside for 15 minutes.
I had a child I was trying to convince this of the other day. She was maxed out. She pushes herself really hard. And there was still this to do and this to practice and this to do and this to do. And she's like, I'm not going to get time. It was like 39 degrees out and sunny. She goes, I want to go for a walk and I'm not going to get time to go for a walk. I just said, I could convey to you how much you need to just do that and call it even more important than everything else on your very, very responsible list. Mm-hmm. She wasn't having it. I said, dang it.
Yeah.
You're wrong. You're so wrong. Go outside. 20 minutes.
It's true.
Yeah.
Look, I know a lot of people listening have little ones. Like, this is mommy timeout. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of you have teenagers. This is also mommy timeout. This is also teenager timeout. I kick my kids outside all the time. Go outside.
My grandpa told me once that his mom would bundle up the baby, no matter what the temperature, and put it out on the front porch in the pram for 15 minutes every day.
Yeah. I'm sure you've seen pictures of that, like the babies in baskets in little cages outside windows.
Those like New York high-rise creepy things.
They're like four stories up and the baby's just suspended out the window. Yeah. I also see ones of like prams, babies in them and like outside stores in Sweden and Norway and it's snowy and the babies are bundled up. But the idea is to breathe fresh air.
So I did take his advice and I would do that. And I would just wheel the stroller out onto the porch.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I mean, do you ever do that even for yourself? Like this time of year, it's a little bit harder because it gets really cold at night. Mm-hmm. But like a lot of, most of the time we sleep with our windows, not all the way open because raccoons, but part of the way open.
But it's, I'm here in my office. It's December. That window above me is 2 inches open.
Oh, yeah.
And the one in the bedroom, my husband doesn't know this, but it's 4 inches open. Woohoo.
You need fresh air.
Oh, yeah. I can't. It's barbaric for me to be like sealed. And I don't want to live in a coffin. I can't. Yeah. It freaks me out. That's why I don't like air conditioning. I'm so thankful that we can't have air conditioning in this house. I can't even tell you. Now, when it's real hot, we have a window unit for the girls, or we'll put one in the living rooms for the piano's sake, for the humidity. But I am really thankful. I would rather perspire a little bit and have it just my feet feel sticky on the floor than feel like I'm trapped.
Mm-hmm. It's a claustrophobic feeling.
I don't like it. I feel it's so unnatural. I don't like it.
If you guys listened to the podcast a few years ago, we talked about playing freeze out.
And oh, do you remember this? Swing it open and yeah.
I did this the other day. I was cleaning out my living room, vacuuming, just dusting. And the sun was out. It was freezing, but the sun mm-hmm. was out. And I threw my living room door open. And I left it open for an hour. I was like, welcome in, new air. Mm-hmm. Come to the party.
Especially here, once the wasps have died after the first hard freeze, it's like, oh,
yes.
Open it up.
Come on in.
Yeah.
Come on in. And it does wonders for people. And even just the staleness. So naturally, when you do that, you get cold pockets in your house and it makes it cold. Mm-hmm. Of course, that happened. And then I went into the kitchen. It was freezing. So I lit a fire and it felt unstaled. Mm-hmm. How's that for a word? Mm-hmm. Unstaled it. Mm-hmm. And I really love this, Dana. And actually, you don't need to set like a personal challenge, but I love the idea of just really, really prioritizing even 10 minutes outside. Even just... it's harder this time of year. It's not quite as tempting to go outside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But like she says, the benefits are the same.
Hmm.
I love that. Okay, we've been talking a lot. Angela and I in our personal conversations have been talking a lot about books lately.
Mm-hmm.
She's just agreed to read through Dante's Inferno with me. I started it 2 days ago. So she's.
I'm so glad that you're not like a week into it because it's been on my list, but I think it'd be read much more interesting to have somebody to kind of like gnaw on it with.
Yes. So I avoided it for a while, but Stu's teaching it right now to Owen and his classmates. And so I was talking to the boys on the way. I was bringing a big group of boys home from jujitsu the other night. And I was like, okay, guys, like, how are you finding Dante? They all loved it. And I'm talking to 13-year-old boys. And I was like, okay, Shay. You're right. 40-year-old almost.
Saddle up.
Saddle up, soldier. Okay?
Right.
Saddle up. You got questions? Google it. Or, like, ask your husband. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Stu's – I was telling Angela, he has 6 different translations of Dante. And so I was like, okay, like, what are the differences? Each one has its own little thing because – of course, it's not written in English. Anyway, mm-hmm. So we've been talking a lot about literature, which has been really fun. And I love it because it seems to hit. We seem to have a lot of readers as we're talking about these things. A mm-hmm. lot of comments are coming through on
yes,
the books.
Which is great.
So Maeve Pistrang.
Mm-hmm.
Maeve, I'm sorry if I butchered your last name.
Pistrang.
Mm-hmm. Encourages us to read Lonesome Dove. She says it's incredible. I remember my grandpa loved Lonesome Dove.
Okay.
So I used to tear up some Westerns back in the day.
Movies?
Well, movies and books.
Okay.
Like Louis L'Amour Westerns. Do you know who that is? Does anyone really know what hormones do? Most women are left so confused about what this means for them. Let's leave behind the confusion as we head into the holiday season. An award-winning German nutrition scientist created a powerful herbal formula called Hormone Harmony. This combines 12 powerful adaptogens into one single capsule. Each one of these ingredients is carefully selected based on scientific evidence and has been proven effective in clinical studies for women of various ages and hormonal profiles. Happy Mammoth, the company behind this phenomenal formula, has helped over 2.4 million women get their lives back and feel like themselves again after years or even decades of hormone imbalances. The company surveyed 1,800 women to see how Hormone Harmony helped them, and the results are mind-blowing. 86% of women started losing weight, 77% say it improved their mood, and 100% said they're feeling like themselves again. Hormone Harmony has over 50,000 raving reviews from women all over the world, with 98% of them saying that they'd gladly recommend it to their friends and family. You can try Hormone Harmony risk-free and get 15% off your first order with code HOMEMAKERCHIC, all one word, at checkout.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.
This? Mm-mm. Anyway, he's like the Nora Roberts of Westerns.
Okay.
So, anyway, I've heard this about Lonesome Dove. I don't think I have a copy of Lonesome Dove, but I am working on putting together my 2026 reading list, and it's going to be severe. While we're here, let's say thank you to American Blossom Linens for also being a sponsor of Homemaker Chic Podcast. Let's talk about sheets, the kind of sheet that you actually want to slip into at the end of the day. I know Angela talks about these sheets getting softer with each washing. To me, they're definitely not soft like a jersey soft. They're crisp like an heirloom linen. They feel so good against your skin. Made right here in the United States from 100% West Texas grown cotton, no imported blends, no harsh finishes, just very breathable comfort on your bed that gets more beautiful with every single wash. Right now, you can shop AmericanBlossomLinens.com and use the code HOLIDAY20 for a special listener discount. You can sleep beautifully and live beautifully with American Blossom Linens. I think I shared last week that Angela encouraged me to read Great Expectations.
Oh, yeah. I wanted you to tell the people what you thought.
Because I'm so excited.
Well, I told Angela, I had a top 5 favorite books list. And so far this year, Lord of the Rings basically kicked all of them out of the top. Just took over all type five spots. But Great Expectations is in there. By a mile. I was floored. I got done and I just wanted to like stand up and cheer. And you know, books, there's different peaks and valleys throughout the book. So I was also texting her like, I hate Pippi's being such an idiot. And then well, you'll have to read the book. But I loved Great Expectations. And listen, I think we talked about this. I tried to read it in high school and completely shut myself off from it. It felt completely inaccessible. And I had just convinced myself for the last 20 years that I was incapable of it. And it's just not true. And I love breaking down walls like that.
Yeah.
I read it and I was like, hey, this is completely accessible. Does it mean I understand everything? No. And it's also layered enough that I think genuinely you could probably read it once a year for the rest of your life and not tire of it. It was so impossibly beautifully written.
Wonderful.
I loved it. So
wonderful.
You haven't read it. Please do.
If you need something like really gritty and dark, you should read Wuthering Heights. I don't know if you've ever read that.
I have read Wuthering Heights, but it's been
a hot minute.
It's been a while. Yeah, it's been a while.
I know you listened to Jane Eyre a few years ago. But it'd be fun to read it.
Yeah. So Callie, if you're listening, hi, Callie, my friend Callie, she texted me yesterday and she sent me a book. Let me find it here so I can do her credit. She sent me a book called...
It is Emily, by the way, while you're looking.
Emily Bronte?
Yeah.
What was her sister's name? Charlotte? And Charlotte Bronte there wrote...
Three of them.
Were there? Oh, those are the only two I know. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's called A Jane Austen Education. This is the cover of it. It's a book. And it's how six novels taught me about love, friendship, and all things that really matter. All the things that really matter. Anyway, she said that it's a complete Jane Austen skeptic turned convert.
Okay.
And she said it's very, very good. So if anyone else has had a bit of a problem kind of breaking into the Jane Austen world, her writing is beautiful. That's not my problem with her. She obviously tells a very lovely story. But I'm willing to give it. Look, I've been wrong. I've eaten crow many times. I've eaten crow like three times this season. Okay.
Let me read this comment from Raishwar. I don't know who it is. Raishwar. Okay. I chuckled at Shay's comment about needing someone in a book you're reading to get shanked in a back alley.
Didn't say that.
Yes, you did. I'm with you on enjoying a good bit of soot in a story. I haven't tried Jane Austen's books yet, though I do intend to give them a go, but I just finished Gone with the Wind, and while I was expecting a more flowery story, I was pleasantly surprised by the amount of soot. Ha ha. Do check that one out if you haven't read it yet. The audiobook version on Audible is quite well done. Mm. So Shay and I have only seen each other in person a handful of times in our lives.
Probably like six or seven.
Six or seven times. And one was for a business convention, and there was a really popular speaker that was going to speak. And I told Shay, I was like, look, I'm not going to that. I'm going to the Margaret Mitchell Museum.
We were in Atlanta.
Gone with the Wind. At one point, I don't know where it stands now, but if you played Trivial Pursuit in the 80s, so I was a kid in the 80s, and if you played it in the 80s, one of the questions was, or intimated that, aside from the Bible, it was the best-selling book of all time in the 80s.
Wow.
It is a phenomenal book with plenty of soot. Mm. And okay. The soot joke comes from last week when we were talking about British novels and
good old Britlit,
lamenting maybe they were too flowery and she needed a little.
I do find Jane Austen a bit flowery.
Well,
and that's just the thing.
Gone with the Wind is not.
So when you I've watched Sense and Sensibility. I've watched the Jane Austen movies, and I really enjoy them. But there's always that moment where you're like, can you just stop staring off into the distance in a melancholy way and just say what you're trying to say? Because then they just won't speak the words, and then three more years will pass while someone's out at sea. And then, you know, it's like you could have just bucked up a little bit and just been like, actually, I love you. I would like to be. Then we could save ourselves a lot of running around here.
Culture and propriety, Shay.
I don't know. Sense and Sensibility drives me mad.
Stop.
It does. And she's like, oh, you can't like him. He doesn't have any money. And she's like, oh, okay. Never mind then. Drives me crazy. But I'll give it a try. Well,
read Gone with the Wind.
Okay.
It's so good. It's a monster. And I have an extra copy I could send you.
Yeah, send it to me. Okay. So far on my 2026 list, I have Lonesome Dove, which is also like 1,100 pages, I'm pretty sure.
Is it? Okay.
Massive. Can't picture.
I like a good Western movie, so that has me really intrigued.
Oh, have you ever watched?
I love
Open Range.
Open Range is one of my.
And Kevin Costner.
Yeah, that's a favorite. Open Range is absolutely a favorite movie. Above that, one of my all-time favorite movies is 3:10 to Yuma. I can't even contain myself. Like, if I get to start talking about that movie, I love talk about soot. I love. Love 3:10 to Yuma. It's Christian Bale and Russell Crowe, and it's perfection to me. And I know it's a remake, nonetheless. And then, what's his name? Clint Eastwood's Unforgiven, The Unforgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. That's.
I mean, Western's fun too, because it's like, it's our genre. It's America's genre. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. that cowboy culture that came out west. It's something. I love that. Yeah, you guys, if you have more books, don't send me the actual books. I can buy them. But like, send me your recommendations, because I already have, I've got Dante lined up. Then I've got Robinson Crusoe.
Oh, Anaïs just finished that. Yeah. That's what she's writing her term paper on. So
Gulliver's Travels, which is another, it's a younger book, but mm-hmm. it'll be a fun read. And I just haven't ever read it. So now I've got Lonesome Dove and Gone with the Wind added to that list as well. That's my list so far for 2026.
Okay.
Julian just
finished Gulliver's Travels, and he's like, this is dumb. He did not like it at all.
Oh, well, sometimes you need to have somebody help you to understand.
There's a little allegory in there. Yeah. So, yeah.
I tried to read, The Count of Monte Cristo.
Yeah, that's on my list for the year.
So beautifully written, mm-hmm. but I had to stop, and I was like, I actually need to watch a YouTube video or figure out the French politics, because otherwise I can't follow the story, because they're referencing people with certain terms. And I'm like, I don't know what that means. So I was having it's another 1,000 pager.
Oh, it's a monster.
So if anyone has any recommendations on that, okay. I love the story of the Count of Monte Cristo, but mm-hmm. there is so much French politics in it, and I don't have any reference for what's happening that it makes it really difficult to mm-hmm. come along in the story in a meaningful way.
Okay.
Anyway, recommendations welcome.
Carissa said, I love this, and I'm so mad I still don't have my Snoop. Somebody send me a Snoop. Mm-hmm. Carissa said, this episode had me laughing so much. Which is nice, because I, too, am always sad, apparently. That's talking about Ange being very melancholy. Also, if Ange gets Snoop on the stoop, Shay needs Martha on the mantle.
Martha on the mantle.
Brilliant!
Is that actually a thing?
No!
Oh.
I don't think so. Oh, good heavens.
Martha
Let's
on
see.
The mantle. I'm going to look
it up. Googling. It is. It came up in a Google
yes,
search.
Yes, it is. Martha on the mantle. No way.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, there is. And look at Snoop.
And they're friends. Martha and Snoop are total good buddies.
I know. They're
buddies.
Like real friends now.
So we do need those, Shay.
They wrote a cookbook together. That's amazing.
They're so funny together. They make
Snoop on the stoop. Oh, this is hilarious. We're learning all kinds of stuff today. That is a great idea.
Oh, my gosh.
This is so good.
The pictures are making me laugh.
Okay, I know we're still in literary territory, so if you're not a reader, then sorry. This is from, oh gosh, you guys, these names. Bruyerage. Angela, help me.
I have no idea.
Bruyerage. Y-E-R-E-J.
Yereg?
Bruyereg. Thank you. Thank you for such a wonderful series. A delightful resource in my current reading list is the podcast Close Reads. The hosts are knowledgeable, humorous, and insightful. I love being able to dip into the backlog and find episodes discussing whatever I'm currently reading. We could do this
close
with Dante,
reads
maybe.
Or Close Reads?
Close? Reads.
Okay.
She
said they cover many classics, and their series on Frankenstein was mind-blowing.
Okay, you got to listen to that, because we were talking about sympathy with the monster.
Oh, yeah.
And Angela's like, I got nothing but sympathy for the monster. And my intro was like, we are not supposed to sympathize with the monster. And I'm like, okay.
The intro to your book said we're not mm-hmm. supposed to?
Mm-hmm. And how it's a common, like, misconception of the book is that we're supposed to feel this.
Well, not on the whole. I said, like, in moments, like, I don't want to give anything away, but, like, when he's looking through the window at the family and he's set apart.
Yeah.
Or his, what, yeah. That makes me, I have empathy. Is that toxic empathy?
I'm not sure. I do want to listen to, because I told Stu, okay. I think I mentioned this, when I got done with Frankenstein, I was just looking around my family, my brother-in-law was here. I was like, did anyone want to talk about Frankenstein? And nobody wanted to talk about Frankenstein.
I had no, yeah, I got no I wanted one. To, when I finished it, I was like, okay, I'll just
sit with this
in
for
my
the
heart.
Rest of my life.
Exactly.
Alone.
Exactly.
That's just the thing about a book. And I think that's actually why I'm learning. You know, people who read intentionally, they're interesting people to talk to because they are sort of drawing from just endless experiences that didn't necessarily happen to them, but that they encountered and rubbed up against. And anyway.
I remember in high school, my French teacher saying, like, that was the main, maybe I'm quoting him wrong, the main benefit of reading was that you then have lived so many lives and have had so many conversations and so many loves or so many confrontations that you can then come into your, you're in your real life, you are so much more well-rounded. Sounds very cliche, but well-rounded. You have so much more context.
Do you think it actually gives you more of a state of contentment too? Because you're going through all these situations with people and you can't be unchanged by them if they're good literature. And then you end up sort of coming back to, you're not just navel gazing.
Those two things don't.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're filling your time with these sorts of things, you're not filling your time with grumbling or I don't know, just too much introversion, too much inward thought can I think be really unhelpful. I sure would like to do this, or I really was hoping I'd get to this today, or these kinds of things that can kind of wear you down a little bit. Interesting. Did we finish this? It's like getting to be a fly on the wall of your cool professor's book club on your own time. They have some Austin episodes that are gold. Okay. Well, there you go.
Sweet.
I want to go and listen to their Frankenstein series, but I'm going to see if they have one on Dante. Because I told Angela right before we hit record when she agreed to read it with me, I was thinking, we need help. Some of this literature, it's not...
Right.
It's not crazy straightforward. You actually need a guide. Like Virgil guides Dante. We also need a guide to say, have somebody say, actually, frame it like this in your mind. Or this represents this, or think of this as this. And that's really helpful.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're not a good reader. This is how it goes.
Yeah.
My dog came in. I'm trying to teach him how to shut the door. I grab his paw. Close the door. Okay. This is from Reban Cam. R-E-B-A-N-C-A-M. Reba and Cam, maybe. I'm not sure. Angela nailed it when she asked how people in SoCal get their annual paws. We don't. I'm a transplant from Idaho, and though I was always the biggest baby come February, I miss the cozy paws that life takes in the dark, cold months. They just keep going as fervently in December as they did in May, and there is never a break or collective downtime as a community. Though in all honesty, I did listen to your podcast while sunbathing, and only a fool would complain after that.
Okay. At least she's honest. Yeah.
Yeah. I might take these words back in February, but I like the pause, even though it doesn't mean the pace of life is like stopped. I think maybe the demands of outside life have changed. The garden's not. There's stuff I can do until the snow comes, but.
It's really exaggerated here because our community shuts down. People go away because people don't live here. So you can go into town in the middle of the day and they'll be like, Ann Carr. You know? So you really do get to lean into it because it's life in grayscale. It's just meh. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and I don't mind it. It in that it has its benefits, you know. Right now, I was just contemplating. Okay, I'm going to reorganize my closet. I'm going to, you know, but
yeah.
But then, you know, a couple of weeks after the holiday, you're thinking, okay, we're done here. Mm-hmm. This is really dangerously depressing. Mm-hmm. It's dangerous. Yeah.
See, I always like January is not horrible because the snow's really new and pretty. So when we get the big snowstorms, there is that like cozy factor. We've put Christmas away, so there's not a ton of great expectations.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's all, like, that's my only time to get, like, kind of homey projects kind of accounted for, things like cleaning out your closet and such. But then February comes, and you're just like, this is for the birds. The snow's all brown and nasty. It's still life in grayscale, and you just feel like you want to crawl out of your skin.
Yeah, it's hard for me to watch my kids. My kids start to suffer. I mean, it's very depressing when it's just dark for 13 days, 21 days in a row. So enjoy your sunbathing.
Okay, okay. Let's. I want to talk about this for a second. Life can I know.
Okay.
Life can be so serious. Like, we have had a very serious fall. Like, I'm not going to talk about it, but it's just not been the most fun. There's been all this just bleh kind of stuff. And I said to Stu the other day, do we even remember how to, like, have fun? So I can remember over the summer, we went to an outside venue that had live music. Mm-hmm. And it was this band. And they, at the end of their set, the end of the night, you know, just gorgeous sunset. We're just across the river from home. We're looking out onto the Columbia, just open plateau, crowds of people just eating food and hanging out on the grass. And they play the Four Non Blondes. I'm not going to sing it, but hey song.
What's going on?
What's going on? Thank you. That's what they ended the set with. I ran down to the front. And I
like a groupie.
Like a groupie.
She wakes up in the morning and she goes outside and she
my face off. I was like, I was made for this moment. I did. My kids were looking at me like I was possessed. And I was like, this is my moment. Just and I just closed my eyes and I just, man, I danced and I just enjoyed it. And I was thinking that was like when you just kind of like actually let loose.
Mm-hmm.
What brings about those moments and like, how can we have more of those? Because I even bought Stuart and I these little silly Christmas sweaters because I was like, we're going to wear his and her Christmas sweaters.
Why? Because sent those to me.
I know.
And I was like, I stared at the screen for like 2 minutes. I'm like, what am I supposed to say?
No, they're supposed
finally,
to be.
I just went cute.
They're supposed to be silly because I was like, it's everything is too bloody serious. Like, where is the fun? I'm genuinely asking you, help me.
Like, people are boring, Shay.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I'm sorry. No, I think people on the whole are really boring.
I gotta
I'm sorry.
You
I'm
this
like,
story.
I'm, I w- wait, I got one.
Okay, fine.
I meant people, I like funny people. I like people that don't take themselves too seriously. So really quick. Once a couple years ago, Amelie and I were driving and my phone rang and it was PayPal. It was a spam call from PayPal. And Amelie was on this kick where she was doing German accents. Uh-huh. And so she answers, she's like, can I do it, mom? Can I do it? She answers the phone and she does the whole thing and I can't do it in her Brunhilde accent, right? Dude dishes it right back to her.
Fantastic.
And we're like, thank you.
Fantastic.
Have a great day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then I was at the Piggly Wiggly last week, and there's one guy there, and he's kind of just, I live in a very elderly community. This guy is not elderly, and he's in the checkout line doing my stuff. And I said, he's always commenting on my gloves or whatever, always trying to make conversation with me. So I just tried, I'm like, okay, it's my turn. I said, you know, I have all these bags at home, and I never remember to bring them. Because he was loading into a paper bag and he said something. I said, no, I mean, like, I have shopping bags in the boot room and I never remembered to bring them. He says, well, you should put them in your car. You know, that way it might be a little bit easier. He goes, or you know what? Do better.
And I just was like, I love you. Thank you for being at liberty to like crack a joke to me like that. I burst out laughing in the checkout lane. It was so funny. And I appreciated it so much. Or, you know,
just be a better human. Don't be so pathetic. Yeah. We went to a Christmas party a couple of weeks ago. And you guys hear me talk about my friend Amber all the time. So she was there with her friend, her husband. They're on friendly terms. Her husband, Cody. And Cody loves Christmas. He loves Christmas. Mm. And this is like a, you know, nice Christmas party. And he had on a suit jacket, but it was made out of like the most offensive holly fabric. It was like just holly with red berries, but it's like a man's jacket. And I went and saw Amber.
Three-dimensional?
No, it was like the fabric. It was fabric, Christmas fabric.
Okay.
Which was just humorous. But then the best part is Amber had a matching jumper that she wore to the party. And she it's okay.
Amber had
a matching jumper. So she had on a black turtleneck with this like red offensive Christmas fabric. And she looked beautiful. And I just thought, I love this. You guys aren't being so, both looked very nice, right? It wasn't like a sloppy. It was hilarious. And I just thought, this is fun. It's festive and it's fun and it's silly. And we need more opportunities for some stuff like that. We need it. I don't know. I've been thinking about that a lot lately. I've been asking all my kids, like, what is the most, like, fun for you? Like, what? Most everyone agreed. Like, we have dance parties where we'll put on, I don't know, 90s rap or I don't know. The Four Non Blondes. They love the Four Non Blondes. We'll put that on and we'll just dance in the kitchen. But, like, that full actual release, how often do we get to, like, feel that? Especially as moms. And I'm not talking about like going out and having like seven margaritas with your girlfriends. Right. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, what am I talking about? Fun. Like, how do we even have fun with our spouses? What do you do for, well, I mean, besides the spouse.
That's the obvious.
I didn't need to go
there. I don't know. That's probably a whole season, Shay.
Okay. Well, if you guys think of things, can you send them to me? Because I'm genuinely, I think it takes intention like anything else. It doesn't just happen. You actually, I think, have to seek out opportunities
for joy. I think it's cultural too, though. I mean, I think that it's, I think it's a really big conversation here.
Okay. I think it involves a
lack of third spaces. I think it's very multifaceted, quite frankly.
The third space.
I think it's a lack. I think it's very cultural and timely. And I think it's a big conversation.
All right. Well, I guess we'll have to have it after the holidays.
Okay.
But if you guys have fun over the holidays, write us about it over on Spotify or on Apple, which is where the comments come from. I don't want to like, I'm not just saying this. We've actually hired help. We've got great stuff coming in 2026 for the podcast.
It's gonna be great.
So thank you guys for sticking with us, for being here. Every listen, every download, every share, every comment, every thumbs up on Spotify and stuff. It makes all the difference to us. So thank you for doing that and for being a part of it.
Yep,
that's all she says.
Yep.
All right.
I'm getting a little warm and fuzzy thinking about the show. Gosh. Okay, so we're going to take a break. We're going to spend time with ours.
Yep.
And we'll be back in January.
Yep.
Rescuing the art of homemaking from the daily grind.
Yep. Okay, ladies. Cheers. Merry Christmas.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.